I'll never make the same mistake again, of course. And now I'm free to approach it correctly. Now I'm free not to make that mistake again. Now I'm free to make the very best bargain with life that I can from this point forward. The point of all of this, of course, is simply that I did not lose anything. So where was courage required? There was no courage required simply because I wasn't giving up anything that was really mine to begin with. All that was really necessary was understanding, a realistic view of what was and a realistic view of what wasn't. There was no point in applying labels to things that weren't so. But it did require that I think it out, that I determine what I wanted out of life and what was possible, and then act to make that possible with due allowance for every claim that I had allowed others to make upon me, with due recognition for everything that I had offered to others in the past and everything I had committed myself to. That was what was necessary. But I had to make that decision, and there was no one else who could make it for me because no one else would experience the consequences. And when the withdrawal symptoms came, I had nothing to regret. I knew they would come, and they did. And when they came, I could view them impersonally. I could cry, if that is what seemed to be required at the time, but I didn't have to let it overwhelm me to the point that I would jump back into the whirlpool, into the cage, to try to escape from the withdrawal symptoms for a brief moment. There was no point to. And if they are recognized in advance that they are coming, there is no reason that they ever have to overwhelm you. But the important ingredient in all of this was that I thought it out and I made the decisions. I didn't turn to someone else to justify or to sanction my actions. I did what I knew to be right because I knew I was the one who was going to have to experience the consequences. I did discuss it with others, and I received some important insights. But these insights could only be integrated into what I saw as the right course of action. Strangely enough, the two people closest to me at that time were both involved with similar problems, and both of them counseled slower action, and I rejected the advice that I got from them. Not because I wanted to uproot lives and toss people aside, but only because the particular slowness could not be shown to provide any truly lasting beneficial consequences. Both of those other individuals followed their own advice, and I followed mine. My problem was settled amicably and finally within 2 months. One of the others required an extra year and much greater costs in terms of money and mental and physical wear and tear, and the other one hasn't solved his problem yet. The critical mistake, I think, in their cases was in believing that the individual was responsible for the life of someone else, and then the problem compounds from there. To be disrespectful to someone else or to be inconsiderate of someone else is to invite bad consequences. But to go beyond the silver rule in being respectful or considerate is also to invite bad consequences. The standard always is, what would I expect in the way of consideration and understanding? You should go that far, all the way to that point, but no farther. On either side of that line, you are inviting detrimental consequences. Be as respectful and considerate as you would want to be treated. More or less than that will bring bad consequences. If you are less considerate of others than you would want to be considered yourself, the people you want to deal with are not going to deal with you. Because why should they get themselves involved in any kind of contracts or arrangements with you thinking that you may be inconsiderate and disrespectful and cause problems later? So to go less than that point is, of course, going to bring bad consequences. It's not going to make you desirable to do business with. But you'll be just as undesirable to the right people if you go farther than you should. Because to go farther than you should is to tie yourself up hopelessly with people who are really taking advantage of you from that point forward. And you are thereby not free to give yourself in contract and in other ways to those individuals you do want to do business with. One of the worst problems is to have a relationship with someone who is otherwise apparently appropriate to you, but is completely locked up trying to save the lives of other individuals. What does that person have to give to you? Absolutely nothing, really, because at any time the fire alarm might sound and he will be off trying to save somebody else's life. And you never know when you have that person's attention or when you have that person's consideration. And that comes from giving too much consideration to others. And the dividing line to me is the silver rule. At what point would you want the line to be drawn? Now let me return finally once more to the point. You have to decide the ultimate action and when and how to take it.